We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. I love you, sister. I'm so glad you're here. Our guest this morning is one of my absolute favorites. Our sister in Christ, Miss Karen Johnson. How are you?
I'm doing well. I heard from the Lord to prepare my temple for what's coming.
Amen.
So in October, he aligned 4 surgeries for me to do necessary repairs. And they were minor, most of them, but it was important to do, to honor God and Amen. Bring glory to God. And so my heart's desire is to go to the missions field and do things, go out there in the harvest. So I got all that repaired so it wouldn't be a hindrance.
Yay.
And it's better to do it early while you still have strength and you're
right.
And too late. We prayed earlier, and
let me go ahead and finish the deal, and then I'll turn it all over to you. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us 3 ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located right here in Elk City. And if you would like to be put on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of March, all you have to do is like, share, and comment done. And we will get notified. Even, you know, if you do it after the program has ended, we do get notifications that you've liked, shared, and commented. So go ahead and do it. The book for this month is Pray Big for Your Child by Will Davis Jr. And please don't limit those prayers to just your children. I think I covered it all.
Yeah. You did so good.
I think I did. I do have some brain left. God does restore minds. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Would you pray to start us out?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and through this broadcast and healing people, delivering people, and giving them the desire to have discernment. Lord, because the days are pretty getting darker and darker, but your light is shining. The glory of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, may we not hinder the glory, but bring it forth out of our temple. And Father, let our flesh die to all the desires, addictions, and pulls of the enemy. Let no temptation take you off that holy highway today. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I like your title, 7, Genesis to Revelation.
Yes, yes. And one of the things, years ago, God said, look up Noah and look at how he did the ark. But there's a phrase in Genesis where he take 7 clean animals to sacrifice and keep the feast and to do Passover and all that. So he was a holy man of God, righteous man of God, and he kept what God had commanded. Now, interesting enough, I told several people, nobody really cared. Like, so what? You know, but the... what I want to bring forth is Isaiah 11 and 1 Corinthians 5 and Proverbs 6:16. And in those scriptures, God has really, really done a work in my life over the last 4 or 5 months in meditating and pondering what he wanted to share to the body of Christ. Because of the Asbury Revival and so many millennials coming to the Lord, because they experienced his presence. Now, when you say the presence of the Lord, very few people understand that because they haven't experienced it. Amen? So, in Isaiah, he did. As you remember, in Isaiah 6, the train of his temple filled the train of him filled the temple. So he stood in the presence of God, and he was convicted of unclean lips. And they brought a coal to cleanse unclean lips. And we all need to pray for that, all of us. There's no exception. And because the enemy does a really good job of tempting us. Did you hear? Did you know? Well, in Isaiah 11, interesting enough, it aligns with Revelation and the seven churches. It also aligns with the seven feasts and the 7 days of creation. And it's fascinating to see how God used seven as a number for creation. And I had been praying about how to reach millennials, people who have never been in church, never been in the Bible, don't even know what you're saying when you knock on their door to witness about Christ. So this dropped in my lap, and it was beautifully done. And what she took is Isaiah 11 and the seven spirits that contain the Holy Spirit that arrived in Acts at Pentecost. And it's the flaming, the fire of God. But it's deeper. God is, I think, really asking us to go deeper. Yeah, quit swimming on the surface, go deeper. And so the spirit of wisdom is one of those, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of Adonai, the spirit of power, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of reverence, which we've really lost. But in all that, that is the menorah that they understood in the tabernacle that Christ represents. It was made of pure gold, all one piece, and hammered. And they illuminated the tabernacle with this lamp. And when they, it gives you a deeper understanding about the virgins who had their wicks trimmed, oil in their lamp, and the ones who didn't, you know. And this makes so much sense to me because you can throw those scriptures out and people are going, is my wick trimmed? How much oil do I have? You know, and if you look at and read that and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you about these different areas that the Holy Spirit manifests, because in counseling, you need the wisdom, the knowledge, the counsel, the power of God to minister to someone you've never met, you knew nothing about. And many times I cried out for all those things to manifest because that person really needed a breakthrough. And in, with that, the parallels, which is fascinating, the seven churches go with Ephesus is with the first candle. And it's wisdom. Smyrna is understanding. Pergamum is counsel. Thyatira is Adonai. And the power is Sardis. Philadelphia is knowledge. And Laodicea is reverence because they were lukewarm. Now, with each one of these things, you look at creation. And quite honest, you know, you read that. There's a blip on the screen. Okay, that's nice. But God goes deeper in the garden. He wants us to understand the Garden of Eden and the rivers that flow through that because something's going to happen in the end times that we don't even know totally how that's going to manifest. But it all has symbolism. It all has meaning. And so the first day of creation aligns with Ephesus day one because he created light and darkness. And this would be so easy to share with children. You know, you could just draw on a piece of paper, use colored crayons, and show them that the seven churches in Revelation and what the Holy Spirit really is. Because everybody, I mean, so much is taken out of context in this day and age. And because people don't want to take the time to study. And hermeneutics, is I learned that with Precept Ministries years ago, and how to look up a word, how to understand the word, and all the uses of that word. And so if you look up seven, you'll be shocked how many times it's used in the Bible. I mean, if you look up spirit, Ruach Adonai, you'll be surprised because of the holiness. And Ruach Kadosh, it means holy. And so as you do this on a piece of paper, you think, oh, God, what are you trying to? And how many times did he say, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. That's Deuteronomy 6:6. And he tried to get them to obey him. And so anyway, with each candle, and there's seven of them, God doesn't miss a beat. Because the first half of the Isaiah 11 is springtime, and the latter part of Isaiah 11, manifestation of light, is in the fall. So God does a cycle. He does a circle of life, you know. And he just keeps getting it to break down the barriers, break down the walls, mm-hmm. break down the lies, break down the traditions. And this is God's plan. This is, if you go through the scriptures in the Old Testament, it says, God said, God wants you to do this. Obey, pray, do this, and your life will be blessed. Deuteronomy 28 lists all the blessings and the curses of a person who violates his ways. I mean, he makes it so clear a child can understand it. So, And I loved it because it helped reminded me of creation and his purpose and stuff. And so the second candle is understanding, and where he had the upper and lower waters. He created heaven and earth. And then the day three is where he has the first fruits, and where Christ raised from the dead, and he created earth, fruit, and seed plants. And Christ's seed fell to the ground, and he was the first fruit. He was the first to resurrect from the dead. I mean, it's beautiful. It's so clear to me. And the spirit of Adonai, which is Christ, is day four, where he set the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. You know, and so the moon represents salvation. And because it comes every 30 days, the new moon, and puts a new face to it. And so you could even point to that, but he told the stars of Abraham that the stars of heaven, his seed, would be as much as the stars. Well, there's so now with the telescopes and all the things that are going out in space, I mean, it's trillions and trillions of stars. So, and children would just love this. So on the fifth day of creation, he created the birds and the fish. And I never really appreciated his spirit of power, because I think we had lost a little bit of the power of the gospel. Yeah, and we need to really look at it, because that's where the trumpets are blasting. And he's coming again. He's preparing his way. Well, the birds fly. I'm looking at a picture here. The birds fly in flocks or whatever, and they swarm. And there's all over the world, the birds swarm and drop seed. And so God's plan, and the fish will do that in the ocean. They will swarm. And I just found it very, and they'll migrate. Migration is a big thing in the creation plan of God. And so then on the sixth day, he created knowledge and the man and beasts. And there's a whole study on the beast nature of man. And basically through that wicked lamp, but in Proverbs 6, but it's manifesting in ways. I think Jonathan Cahn has released a book of a return of the gods. You haven't read it.
Yeah.
And the gods, he goes through and explains the gods we're dealing with. And it, nothing's new. And, but how do we deal with it in today's world? And what man has contested with in war and all the different issues, and actually the shift that's going on in our society. Why? Everybody's going, what's going on? What's going on? Well, it's not lollipops and roses. It's you've got to really work for you. Get sanctified. Get right with God. Get alone with God. And he'll tell you what's wrong. That's all Jonathan Cahn did. Like, what in the world's happening? And he lists all the gods that are manifesting and have been released to tribulation and suffering. And day seven is the Sabbath, and it's where we rest, and we tabernacle with him. We have the spirit of reverence. So I thought it was a really beautiful explanation of aligning stuff, because we'll read stuff in Genesis, and then we'll read stuff over here, but we never put them together. And so... it's a beautiful thing, and this lady has done that. And what I liked was she didn't leave it there. God said, now we're going to confront the wicked lamp. So in the wicked lamp, there's seven of those listed in Proverbs 6, 6, 16. And in James 3, 5, and 6. And that's also addressed, Paul addressed it in 1 Corinthians 5. The whole chapter is about sexual immorality that defiles the church. And he really hits it hard, and he tells the church to deal with it. Take action. And because he sees it as leaven. He sees it as sin. You've got to throw it out. You've got to do something. To restore the person, to bring them to salvation is the purpose. Not to bring punishment, but to restore the person. And if they are so deep in it, they may never repent. I mean, a third of the mankind will not repent. So the reality is God already knows that they won't repent. Sometimes the addiction's too strong. And I certainly have dealt with those people in my life. And so the seven things in Proverbs 6 is haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapid to evil, false witness uttering lies. Boy, we've seen a lot of the accusers busy there. And one who separates brothers. We've lived that where we go to church. It's really, really hard to, when it's so bad, you just go, God, you're just going to have to show us what to do, because it's almost like chaos out of order. What orderly church service is now exploded in your face. And you have to have really strong, righteous leaders to stand on God's word. Not what you feel, you know, not what you hear, not what you see, but what does God tell you to do? And Paul took authority over that incest behavior. And he really laid it out to them, and basically called them pagans. And their arrogance to even think they could get away with doing that and have no real knowledge of the Word of God and the discipline. We may have lost the discipline in the church to a degree. I mean, you have to have the reverence for God and the awesome fear of God to believe you need to take action. And most people would respect a leader who did. And I know somebody in Western Oklahoma who did do that. And he's a very righteous man. And I know he heard from God to take discipline action. So he even says, don't associate with him. He wrote them a letter. He said, and he told the church leaders to lead lives that are examples to imitate. So if you're not even doing that, then you've got a problem. I think that Paul, some people just hate Paul, but I love his teachings, how he wrote out so clearly. I mean, he does that. I mean, think of the price he's paid for the gospel, for the power of the gospel. And to the church in Corinth, had trouble. But he was using he had been a rabbi, he had been a leader in the church. So he was using the Passover in verse 6. It says, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, but the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he lays it out pretty clear. You know, because Christ died. It says very clearly in the scripture that he was the Passover lamb. And while they were in the temple sacrificing lambs, they were killing the one true God on the cross. So they were really blinded to the reality that he was there with them. And this is really beautiful explanation. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know? And we do compromise. We do say, well, you know, they're not evil, or they're not really doing things, you know. And they don't know. You know, they don't know what this person is doing until they repent and confess and bring it to light. And unfortunately, that's all over the internet, sexual immorality. And it certainly has put a hook in lots of pastors. And I think the rate is like 30 or 40% that they're addicted to it. They let their eye gate get defiled. And then it went down into their heart. And it hooked. Yeah, you know, the enemy had a hook. And it's very, very demonic. If you've ever been around someone who's... it's witchcraft in a way. I mean, because Satan, his altar is sexual immorality, and so I wanted to put that out there because it doesn't do any good just to talk about something. The challenge is to pray for their souls to be saved, pray for them to get delivered, pray that they are led to someone who is not afraid of that. And so anyway, it's a challenge for the church, because if you're immature, if you're really immature, then you will have worldly fear and not godly fear. And it takes a deep dive into God's word and intimacy with the Father God. And I was at a conference one time, and all of a sudden the minister decided to ask the people there, Christians, how many love the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, we love the Holy Spirit. How many love you, Jesus Christ? Oh, we love Jesus Christ. Their hands went up, you know, worshiping. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a really good question. How many know the Father God? Not two hands went up, just two. And the Father is where the intimacy, in the book of John, if you want to study that out, the book of John, he really talked about the Father. Christ did. I am one with the Father. I do the Father's will. I came to do glorify the Father. The Father, the Father, the Father, the Father. And somehow we've missed it. Because most people don't really mention Father God. But he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what's interesting with all that is that we are to be watchful as Christians, as priests, members of the royal priesthood. We're to be watchful. We're watching over the flock, watching them, and absolutely make sure that we are practicing what Paul is telling us to do. Now, I took a course at First Baptist about working with sixth grade and younger, and it was how to identify a sex trafficker or a people trafficker or a sexual deviant person. And their tactics and all that type of thing. So they are a lawyer and a psychiatrist represented how that plays out on the videos. But anyway, they took, they've already asked people to be on alert, have your antenna up, and really know what's happening out there, because it's not a small thing. And so anyway, Paul was comparing the correction in the church with what they already knew to do, was to clean out their house of any defilement, anything that is corrupt, or any what images of other gods, you know, smash them, crash them, you know, get rid of them, repent, and they have so much time to do that. And then put away from yourselves the evil person. We put away the leaven, and purge. You know, that Freedom in Christ prayers that I've talked about before, are seven ways to seven prayers of the Word of God to repent and get the junk out of your heart and out of your mind. And then a confession of faith of who Jesus Christ is. Well, when it says in here, he says, and delivering one over to Satan. Hmm. Yeah, those are strong words. But it is also putting them outside the church, but you're still going to, it's a discipline to save them. Now, they may get angry, but what's the risk? I mean, it's like dangerous to leave them in the presence of the people who are young and have not grown, don't know the promises or the words of God, have no depth. So you're actually killing off your sheep by letting them stay, you know. And so watch and observe to prevent anything from happening. Guard the spiritual health of the church. And so I thought that was really good. I hadn't read that chapter in a while, but under the circumstances and under the things that are happening in the news, we certainly need to take care of business. So let's think about what God is saying in transitioning to a righteous person. How do you keep your authority, you know? And so you move from the sevens to the eight. And the eight is new beginnings. Mm. You know, it's restoration. It's healing. And so there's several eights in the scripture. And he said, do you want to give up your crown by tolerating and being lukewarm and being compromised? Mm. Do you want to lose your crowns of having a good name and then letting the enemy deceive you and lose that? You know, so the eights in the Bible, we all probably know them. They're signs. The circumcision of the covenant is one. The tabernacle was built in 8 days. The Passover is 8 days. The resurrection, the Torah, the law, the teachings of what God gave Noah I mean Moses, Noah, eight people came out, righteous people came out of the ark. And then at the end of the year, there's a celebration of the victory of winning because they were united and stayed together. And but I did not realize how many crowns there were. And so if you tolerate sin, you're in danger of losing your crowns. And never really I connected with it, but I didn't realize the total consequence, you know. And there's a crown for keeping his teachings. There's a crown for the priesthood, doing what he tells you to do. And the crown of kingship, because we're in a kingdom. Mm-hmm. So you rule and reign with authority. And anybody out here in Western Oklahoma knows that you can confront the weather with your authority. And it's not hard to do. You know, the destroyer, you have no right. You're trespassing. Be gone from here. Go out to sea. Go somewhere. And then the crown of a good name. And that's perseverance. And perseverance is to be treasured. I thought that was really good because people say, well, how in the world have you stayed the course? And I'm going, well, I love the Lord. I have gone off. I have done things I shouldn't have done. But I've repented sincerely and got back on track. And I know God wants to use me. And I want to wear the crown of life. So we're going to break right here.
Okay.